Good evening. We want to welcome you tonight to our Christmas program. How many of you folks are visiting here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? You don't typically come to church here. Raise your hand. Good, and don't be bashed. We won't shoot you or anything. Great. Well, we're delighted to have you. Thank you. We're honored that you would be with us tonight. Pray the Lord would speak to your heart tonight through the drama and the music. A couple of announcements to help you know what's going on. As you've noticed, we're renovating our lobby. That has caused some difficulties. The restrooms, if you need a restroom, if you go down this hallway, down your left about halfway down, there's a couple more about three-quarters of the way down. If you need a nursery tonight, all the way to the end of the hallway, there's a nursery there also. If you have your cell phone with you tonight, no one's going to call you for the next hour, but just in case they do, if you'll turn it off, that'll be great, and that won't interrupt the program. Toward the end of the program, the choir will be singing, "Oh, Come All Ye Faithful," and there is a section we'd like you to sing with us, and I'll turn and direct you on that last stanza of "O Come All Ye Faithful." Again, we're delighted to have you with us tonight. Pray the Lord would speak to your heart, be a blessing to you as we have this special program, The Promised One. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and your grace to us in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ came some 2,000 years ago to die for us. Now, Lord, tonight, you know the need of every person in this auditorium. You know the needs of those who are listening on the internet tonight. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit would work in each heart, that you would just move from pew to pew, that you would speak to people and draw them to yourself. Lord, we pray the message would be clear, that you would be honored and glorified in all that's done tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was.
Oh,
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city.
Josiah! Where is that boy?
Here I am, Father.
Where have you been? We have much work to do before our travelers arrive.
I was cleaning the stables as you asked.
And? Are they ready?
Yes, Father. I put fresh straw in the mangers.
Great. And the rooms? What about the rooms?
Mother and Abigail are finishing the last one.
Very good. Now help me get some of this food ready for our guests. Lately, I declare, you've been eating everything we bring into this house.
Mother says I am a growing boy. Father, are we going to use all of the rooms in the inn?
Yes. I only wish we had more rooms. More rooms mean more people. And most importantly, Josiah, more people mean...
an overcrowded inn?
No. More people mean more money. One day, Josiah, you'll learn to value important things as I do.
Father, why are so many people interested in coming to Bethlehem all of a sudden?
Well, granted, it's not their choice. Caesar has commanded it.
Commanded what, Father?
Caesar Augustus is taking a census of his empire, for tax purposes most likely. But he also wishes to keep an eye on the descendants of King David. You know, the line of King David registers here.
In the city of David.
Brilliant. Of course, he probably wishes to brag about the number of subjects he rules over as well.
He sounds like a very proud man.
Proud? Well, of course he's proud. Why would he not be? Look, Josiah, whose image is on that coin?
Why, that's the great Caesar himself.
Exactly. Now, give me that coin back. He is a powerful man, worthy of our worship and tribute. We see his power, fame, and wealth everywhere. Son, we could only hope to be like Caesar someday. Do you understand?
I think so.
Well, that's enough talk for now. We must get back to work.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
I'm finished, Father. The stray sheep are returned and safe, and there's wood for the evening fire. The sheep are finally settling.
Oh, that's good. Then we should settle too.
That's good news. The sheep are so stubborn and foolish.
They are. They have a mind of their own. They wander, as do we.
What do you mean?
Well, you heard the reading of the great prophet Isaiah in the synagogue last week. Remember what he said? All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We bring our poor sheep back into the fold, but God always brings us back. He really is a good shepherd.
God's flock is big and scattered. How does he keep up with each one?
I'm sure he knows them all by name. Look at the stars, son. Our own King David said, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names.
That's amazing. It makes me feel small. I'm thankful that God created all of these, knows my name.
Thank you. Praise the Lord, sing hallelujah. From the heavens, praise his name. Praise the Lord, our great creator. All his angels, praise proclaim. All his hosts together, praise him. Sun and moon and stars on high. Praise the Lord, all heaven of heavens, and the clouds that roam the shall never stand. Let the earth sing hallelujah, raging seas and creatures all, fire and hail and snow and tempest, stormy winds and hear his call. All the fruitful trees and cedars, every hill and mountain high, creeping things and beasts and cattle, birds that in the heavens fly, kings of earth and all the people, princes, traders, judges all, praise his name, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Praise the Lord.
Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Father, why did you turn that couple away? They looked so weary, and the woman's going to have a baby.
Son, we have no more rooms. It was gracious of me to allow them to use our stable. Is that not true?
Well, I suppose so, but they could have used Abigail's room. I'm sure my sister would give it to them freely.
Giving up your room is one thing, but your sister will keep her room, at least for now.
What do you mean, for now?
Well, son, a situation of great need could arise that would require your sister's room.
What situation could be greater than a woman who's about to give birth?
Josiah, those people had very little money. Now, this may seem harsh to you, but sometimes in life, well, you have to make difficult decisions.
So they were turned away because they had little money?
Because they had little money. That's the only reason I need. Our need is great also. Well, we must pay for all this some way. Do you enjoy having a place to live and food to eat? Our need is great also.
But could we not just give one room as a free gift?
There's no such thing as a free gift. No man just freely gives of his means. There's always a payment involved.
Well, may I at least take them some bread and water?
No. We only have enough bread and water for our needs and our paying guests' needs.
Well, then they shall have my share.
Do what you want with your share. But don't come complaining to me when you're hungry later. Ah, perhaps more travelers. Josiah, wake your sister and prepare her room immediately. We have some needy guests joining us tonight.
thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
In Bethlehem, the Son of God is born amid the ox and sheep, and yet the world, unknowing, goes with thoughtless pace and careless sleep. The King of all has come to earth without a crown or majesty. In manger bed the baby lies, a humble birth of low degree. So calm he lies in Mary's arms, so meek and mild, so warm and still. The Word of God in flesh has come to do his Father's precious will. He comes to do his
possible to worship God face to face while we're still on earth.
Yes, son, I do not understand it completely either. But the prophet Isaiah says that a child will be born and that he will not be ordinary. This child will be the Son of God. His name will be Emmanuel, God with us.
You mean God's going to come down and be born as a baby?
That is what the prophet says, and he always keeps his word.
Well, when will this happen?
Well, we don't know exactly when, but we do know where.
Where?
Right down there in Bethlehem. The prophet Micah says so.
But our small town is already overcrowded because of this census. When Messiah is born, the whole world will want to come and worship him.
You would think so, son. But not everyone looks for Emmanuel's coming. You and I will look for him. My father taught me to look for him just as his grandfather taught him to look for the Messiah, the promised one.
Then I might actually see God's son in my own village someday?
You might. We would rejoice to see him. My grandfather would rejoice, and you and I would rejoice. But if not, then you must teach your son to look for the coming of the Christ. Even so, Lord, come quickly. What a is that light?
What's happening? What's that light?
Father, help us. What's going on? I can't see. A man. No, not a man. Lord, save us.
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.
Father, Father, angels, we've seen heavenly messengers.
Yes, God has sent them to tell us the coming of Emmanuel. He's finally here.
Father, Father, the child.
Hundreds and hundreds of years we've waited. Thousands of sacrifices we've offered. And now our eyes will behold him, the promised one. Oh, it's almost too much to believe.
Father, the child, let us go find the child.
Yes, the child. We must go quickly.
Hurry, please.
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
Come ye to Bethlehem.
son. What's wrong? What's happening?
In the stable! The baby! The baby!
Oh, don't tell me this woman has delivered a child in my stable.
But she did, Father. This is no ordinary child.
Is the child okay?
Yes, he's perfect.
No doubt the animals will be disturbed and scattered from the stable. And our guests, they're going to be greatly upset.
Father, the child! It is him!
It's who, son? You're talking nonsense.
It is Emmanuel. He's the Messiah, the promised one. The shepherds told me. They saw and heard them. The angels, I mean.
Shepherds? Angels? What are you talking about?
The shepherds were here at the stable. The Messiah is born in Bethlehem as the prophets foretold. He was born in our stable.
I'm aware of the prophet's words, but not here and not in a stable. He is to be a ruler far more powerful than Caesar. He won't be born in a simple cattle stall. I will hear no more of this foolishness, and those troublemaking shepherds, they must be gone.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping?
This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard.
Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and sheep are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading.
This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard.
When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
My father and my father's father would have been so joyful to see this day, and you and I have seen it, Jonathan. We have worshipped the Lord's Christ.
We must tell all the people, Father. Surely all men will want to come and worship him.
We will gladly tell them, son. We must tell everyone this good news.
There are many people over here at the inn. Let's begin there.
I have no rooms.
Oh, sir, we don't need one.
What now? Come on in.
Thank you. Sir, have you heard the news? The Messiah, Emmanuel, is here. My son and I have seen him with our own eyes.
Father, these two are the shepherds I spoke of.
Oh, yes, the dreaming shepherds who are disturbing all of Bethlehem about their tales of this child in my stable.
Your stable? Then you know. Surely you have seen him too.
I have not, nor do I plan to.
But Father!
But sir!
This baby is a poor baby like any other. Millions are born like him. I will hear no more of this foolishness. You shepherds, go and spread your falsehoods elsewhere. Maybe your sheep will listen to your prophecies. Now off with you. And come, Josiah.
But Father!
Come!
Father, why would that man refuse to consider the good news? How can people be made to understand why he would choose to be born in a stable?
I do not know, son. A stable is an unusual place for a king, and God had his purposes for choosing it. The angels told us that the promised one had come, and we believed them. Though he was born in a stable, he will become the greatest king the world has ever known. Though he came with the lowest, he will rise to the highest. Maybe it's as simple as that there was no room in this man's inn.
I have room for him, Father, in my heart.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Father, the angels told the shepherds. I believe them.
Of course you believe, son. You have the foolish faith of a child.
You will believe them too if you just talk to the father and mother. They tell of amazing things concerning the child.
Talk to them? I will not. I have more important things to do, and no time for such tales. The world is full of poor babies and poverty-stricken parents. I have no desire to be one of them, so get back to work.
Father, but what of Christ?
Or comfort for the child, no pillow soft to lay his head. The Lord of all was turned away to rugged, lowly manger bed. Though men reject the Savior's love and mock his holy name, he stands their hearts of doubt to save, and comes their sinful souls to
believe his promise.
But what of Christ? That is the question that will determine where you spend eternity. But what of Christ? Some believe he was a great teacher who left us a great example. That's not enough to get you to heaven. Some believe that, yes, he came and he died on the cross, but I have to join a church to get to heaven. That's not enough. They say, well, we'll take Christ and we'll take the baptismal pool. That won't work either. Christ is the way to heaven. Every person in this world is like these folks we had in our drama tonight. They're lost without Christ. If you're here tonight and you're trusting in anything beside what Jesus Christ did on the cross to save you, my friend, you will not go to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is one way to heaven. There are not many ways. I grew up out in Idaho. A lot of folks out there are very sincere in their religious beliefs, but they're sincerely wrong. God is not looking for sincerity. God is looking for faith in Christ. Every person must come to the point in their life where they realize on their own they cannot enter heaven. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We cannot meet God's standards. Your goodness will not get you to heaven. That's why Jesus came. Now think about this for a moment. The Son of God left the glory of heaven, left the adoration of the angels, left a perfect, sinless place. And on Christmas, some 2,000 years ago, he came to this earth and took upon himself human form and lived 33 and a half years, and he died. Why did he die? He died for me. He died to pay for my sin so I would not have to. Someone has to pay for our sin. We are all sinners, undoubtedly. My friend, if you're trusting in something besides Christ, either your goodness or the work of a church or anything else, that is not sufficient. But if you will come and say, yes, you're right, I have broken God's law. I am a sinner. The things I am trusting in will not get me to heaven. And you will turn to Christ and ask him to forgive you of your sins and to save you. He will save your soul for all eternity. Unfortunately, there are people here tonight who will be like the innkeeper. And they will say, there's no room. I have my tradition. I have my activity. I have my church. There's no room for total faith in Christ. My friend, you'll be lost for all eternity. Our exhortation for you tonight is to be like the shepherds, to be like Josiah, the innkeeper's son. He said, Lord, I believe. I believe. Admit that you are a sinner. You've broken God's law. Realize the only way that sin can be cleansed and taken from you to allow entrance into heaven is to place total faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. My friend, when you die and stand before God, he's not going to say, but what of your church? He's not going to say, but what of your works? But what of your baptism? He's going to say, but what of Christ? What did you do with Christ? Did you accept him? Or did you reject him? That's the message tonight. I'd like you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. Let me ask you a couple of questions. It's in private. I'm the only one looking. We're not here to embarrass you tonight. I wonder how many folks in this congregation can say, Brother Gary, tonight I want you to know that there has been a time in my life where I saw that I was a sinner. And I turned to Christ, and by faith, I trusted in what he did on Calvary to save my soul. And because of that, I am 100% sure that when I die, I'll go to heaven. If you have that assurance in your heart, would you just lift your hand? Just hold it there for just a moment. Just a moment. Wonderful. Many, many hands. Thank you. There were some that could not raise their hand tonight, and I appreciate your honesty. The Word of God says that today is a day of salvation. I was talking with a lady in the hospital Saturday, or maybe it was Friday, and she's facing open heart surgery. And I said, today is the day to get right with the Lord. We don't know what the future holds. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. My friend, if God is speaking to you, today is the time to be saved. We would love to have someone take a Bible and sit down with you and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. You could have come into this auditorium not sure of heaven and leave knowing that if you died, you'd go to heaven. What a great thing. And it all centers around Christ. If you're here tonight and you're not sure of heaven, but you'd like to be, I'd love to pray for you. I won't call you by name. I probably don't know your name. I won't embarrass you at all. But you say, Gary, I realize tonight that I need Christ. I've been trusting in my church or my tradition or my works or something else. But what I need is Christ. I would love to pray for you, and that'll help us to know how to proceed in the invitation. If you're saying in your heart right now, Gary, that's me. You're speaking to me. Would you just slip your hand up, hold it for a moment, and put it right back down? Just slip it up, hold it just for a moment, and put it down. I hope as you go tonight, and we have a couple more things to do before you go, but I hope that in your heart, if you're not on your way to heaven, the thought, but what of Christ, will continue to ring in your heart and soul. That it will convict you and draw you to the Savior. I'm going to have the instruments play just here a moment. I know no one has raised their hand, but if you're saying, boy, I want to get this thing settled, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can know you're going to heaven. Be sure of it. We've got people that can help you do that. Or maybe you're a Christian and God has worked in your heart that you strayed away from the Lord. You need to come back and get some things right. When I talked with this lady in the hospital, she had made a profession of faith several years ago, but she had gotten involved in some things, and I had her pray, and she asked the Lord to forgive her for the sin that she'd gotten into, and she got things right with the Lord, and she was just excited and joyful. Maybe that's your need tonight. Ladies, you play, and as you play, folks, if you need to come, if you're a believer, but you've strayed from the Lord, you come. There's an altar here. You can pray and meet with the Lord and ask Him to forgive you of the things you've done, and you can know the Lord's presence again in your life. If you're not sure of heaven, why don't you come? We'd love to take a Bible and show you Christ. One more stanza, we'll be done. You come quickly if the Lord's speaking to your heart. Thank you. You may look this way. Let me just mention, if you're here tonight and you're visiting, probably one of the hardest things in the world would be to get out of that pew and come up here. And I understand that. When the service is over, I'll be standing here in front. Some of our pastoral staff will be around. And if God is working your heart and you'd like to get this thing settled, we can take you privately and speak with you and help you to be sure that heaven will be your home. Be the greatest day in your life. I've never met a person in my life that said, Gary, I wish that I had put it off and gotten saved later. Never met one. I have met many who said, boy, I wished I'd done it earlier. Wished I'd done it earlier. And we'd be glad to help you with that tonight. Well, we're delighted to have you here. Lots of folks visiting tonight. If you're visiting tonight here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church for the first time, if you'll look in the pew in front of you, you will see a white visitor's card. And if you will take that white visitor's card, we'd like you to fill that out. And we have a special gift for you. Now, again, it's kind of a mess out here, but in the breezeway out here, there'll be a little table, we'll have some folks standing there, and we have a special gift for you, and you will like it. I have church members that come to me all the time begging for one. So we don't give it to them, though. We don't do it. But we'd love to meet you there at the visitor center and in the lobby here, and fill that white card out. And I'll tell you what, men, go ahead and come. And if you're visiting, we'd like to give you a pen. You can keep that, take with you, and that'll help you to fill that visitor's card out. We don't want you to be unprepared here. If you're visiting today, I'll tell you what, if you're visiting first time, just raise your hand, and these guys are coming back. They'll be glad to give you a pen there, and you can keep that, and you can use that to fill out the visitor's card, and you can bring that to the Welcome Center, which will be in the breezeway today. Okay? Good. All right, let me make a couple of other announcements. Christmas dinner. We're a good Baptist. We like to eat, and we'll be eating Wednesday night at 6:15 over in the Family Life Center, doing something a little different this year. We're going to have about a 15-20-minute children's program, and they'll be singing Christmas carols and quoting scripture, and that'll be an exciting time. Hope you will join us for that. We are asking you to come. Hope you'll come. And we're asking you to bring some food with you, bring enough to feed your family. According to my logic, if everybody brings enough to feed their family, we'll have enough food. All right? Doesn't that make sense? So bring some food if you can't cook or don't want to cook. The colonel over here in John City will be glad to help you out. And go see him, and he'll be glad to help you out there. Or go to Food City or go somewhere. Well, we want you to come. It's a great time of fellowship, special time for our church family. And you come and join us Wednesday night at 6:15. Let me remind you very quickly of the offerings that are ongoing. The birthday offering for Jesus. You church members, of course, are aware of that. Also the special offering for India and the mission trip the pastor will be going on. Be praying about what the Lord would have you to do. I don't know. Does anybody know what time the prison service was tonight? It may be over. I'm not sure. They're having two preaching services. Pastor, that's where Pastor is tonight, preaching. Yes, sir. At 7. Okay, very good. You ought to know. He's your dad. Okay? If you're wrong, you're in big trouble. All right, good. All right, but let's be praying about that as we go tonight also. Men, if you'll come, we'll receive our evening offering tonight. All right. Lord, we do thank you for sending Christ. I thank you that you sent him for me. Lord, I needed a Savior. And in your love, you sent him for me. And I praise you and thank you for that. There are folks here tonight who've not opened their heart's door to you. And we pray that they might do that even tonight. And we do pray for the service going on at the prison tonight as Pastor and some of our men and women are there ministering. Pray that you would work and that souls will be saved, lives will be changed, give them safety as they travel back this direction. In Jesus' name, amen. right. Thank you very much. I do want to thank all the folks who worked hard tonight. Had all kinds of instrumentalists and people up here doing the sound and video and lights and people singing. Outstanding job. I hope you were blessed by it tonight. As we're dismissed, let me encourage you folks to attend here. Look around. We've got all kinds of visitors. Let's make them feel right at home. Learn their name. Be friendly. Be friendly is the admonition. All right? Great. We're glad to have you. You are dismissed. The Lord bless you.